Welcome to the Dynasty Freaks podcast with your host, Justin Christopher. For free rankings, player values, waiver wire tips, and trade advice, follow him online at dynastyfreaks.com or email dynastyfreaks@gmail.com.
Hello and greetings from Austin, Texas. Welcome all of you Dynasty Freaks. Admit it, you are addicted to Dynasty. I am too. My name is Justin Christopher, and I'm a Dynasty Freak. That means I love drafting and trading and scouting and managing all of my teams 365 days a year. So to you, so let's talk some Dynasty on episode number 271. You know, last week I talked about what I called my guys in this year's rookies class, the guys that I felt like I had ranked five or more spots higher than the pros at DLF. Well, this week I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to call them my avoids list in this year's draft. Honestly, it's not that I would never draft these players or I think they should be avoided at all costs. It's just that I have them ranked significantly lower than other Dynasty analysts, and people are going to be following their rankings instead of mine. That means I'm likely not going to draft any of these players because someone's going to draft them before I would. So it's not so much that I hate these players, but I guess you could argue that I do because I've got them ranked lower than a lot of the experts over at Dynasty League Football. That's what I do. I kind of re-rank my rankings. Spent the last number of weeks reading some different scouts and scouting portfolios, learning even more and more about the players. And there's some now that I've just noticed, now that I kind of finalized my pre-draft rankings, I compare them with DLF, and these are guys that I have ranked five spots or more lower than the pros at DLF. I noticed that most of our rankings in the first two rounds are pretty similar. There was no more than like two or three spots until I got to pick number 24, their 24th ranked guy, is where I started to notice some differences. So I think that's actually going to be the way that the rookie drafts play out this year a lot, that the first 24 picks are going to be fairly chalky. And from what I can guess, third, fourth, and if you have fifth rounds in your drafts, those are going to be players that people are just going to reach up and grab the guy that they consider their guy. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the third rounds. But let's talk. There is one of their second round guys that I have a big difference with, and then several more in the third and fourth rounds. So let's talk about him. My guys to avoid, I guess you could say, because I have him ranked five spots less than the pros at DLF. First would be Malachi Corley. At the time of this podcast, DLF had him ranked 24th, and I had him ranked 31st, a seven-spot difference. This was hard, though. I really liked Corley's film when I first studied it. He has an eighth-ranked rookie production profile for a wide receiver class, so that's excellent in this class. He had a great career at Western Kentucky with more than 3,000 yards receiving in his four seasons there. He's given his, you know, superb run after the catch ability. Everyone calls him the new Deebo Samuel of this class. That's what he's most pumped being compared to. I agree, that is a strength. But what concerns me most is his yardage really just comes after catches that he catches just in front of the line of scrimmage, or so many even behind the line of scrimmage. I think to succeed in the NFL in that way, he's going to have to go to a team that really knows how to use him that way. But only a few offenses really are fit to do so. That's why mock drafts, actually, if you go to mock draft database, almost all, I think it was like five of the seven mock draft people that they track have the 49ers taking him in the second round. So, of course, if he goes to 49ers and they're going to keep those Deebo Samuel comparisons going, that's going to be pretty funny to see. Maybe someone like the Niners could unlock him, but there's 31 other teams in the NFL, and they might have a harder time using him the way it's best. Analysts, I think, have got a little bit of tunnel vision with Corley, and they see him as a weapon on the offense like the 49ers, but the odds are that he's not going to get drafted by them. He's going to get drafted by another team, which will cause Dynasty managers maybe to lower him in their rankings back down to where I already have him ranked at 31st. I have guys like Jalen McMillan, Roman Wilson, Jalen Polk, Malik Washington, and John Baker, two of the guys that were in my guys list. I have them all ranked ahead of Corley, and I can't imagine moving Corley ahead of those prospects who I think have more versatile skill sets and can be effective in any NFL offense that they get drafted to. I also knock guys who played against weaker competition, like he did at Western Kentucky, and were less highly recruited, too. That's the case for Corley as a two-star prospect. He's definitely fun to watch on tape, don't get me wrong, but I think there's just too many red flags, and I think people are a little bit too high on him right now, picturing him as Deebo Samuel. Next guy, running back, is Marshawn Lloyd. At the time of this recording, DLF had him ranked 29th, while I had him ranked 43rd. So a pretty big difference there, 29th to 43rd. His college production profile is what concerns me the most, with his best season coming in his final season in Southern California after transferring from three unproductive years at South Carolina, so two USC schools. His career high in carries was last year with just 116, which turned into 820 yards and 9 touchdowns. So he was a 4-star recruit, but he just never produced like one. During the NFL Combine broadcast, I was very surprised to hear Daniel Jeremiah, you know, praising Lloyd so much, even predicting that he might be the first running back drafted. His praise definitely caused me to move him up in my rankings. I did after the Combine, but not nearly as high as the DLF guys have him. I have Ray Davis and Audric Estime ahead of Lloyd, and probably a group of about 10 receivers that are ahead of him in my rankings. So Davis was on my guys list. Estime, he was just far more productive in his college years. Their worst starter seasons, of those guys, Davis and Estime, their worst seasons as a starter were more productive than Lloyd's best. And so his draft capital is likely going to move him up in my rankings a little bit closer to Davis and Estime, but he's not going to pass them no matter what team and draft capital he gets and what team drafts him. So lower on Marshawn Lloyd. Next, another running back would be Will Shipley. At the time of the podcast, DLF had him ranked 30th, while I had him ranked 37th. And this was kind of a surprise to me because I expected that I would actually be higher on Shipley than most analysts. So when I, you know, compared our rankings for the first time, I was surprised to see that they have him ranked 7 spots higher than I do. DLF analysts have him as high, you know, remember they have, I think, 7 guys that are contribute to their rankings. So they have him as high as 23rd. One of their guys has him as high as 23rd, but another guy has him as low as 34th. So all of them, all of their rankers have him ranked ahead of me, where I have him at 37. You know, as a top-tier recruit, he produced immediately from year one at Clemson and had 3 productive seasons. He's definitely a dual threat back with 38 and 31 receptions the last 2 seasons. I think that he can earn a role with the team immediately in the passing game, but I don't think he's really fit to be an every down back in the NFL. Not that there's a whole lot of guys in this year's class that are, but I really like Audric Estime, Dylan Lobby. I have them ranked ahead of Shipley in this class. And I definitely wanted to share of him in this year's draft, but if this is the way that people are going to have him ranked, I guess I'm not, because I'm keeping him right here at 37th. For me too, like I said before, with Lloyd, there's a lot of wide receivers that are in there, sprinkled in there for me, because the wide receiver class is so deep. Next guy that's one of going to be the guys that I'm not going to be drafting is Bucky Irvin. At the time of this podcast, DLF had him ranked 33rd, where I had him ranked 40th, so 7 spot difference there. You know, Irving has continued to fall down dynasty rankings since his poor testing at the Combine, but I was still surprised to see DLF had him ranked outside of this. I was surprised, you know, that when they had him ranked outside of the second round. You know, I thought his college production and tape would have kept him higher, you know, in analysts' rankings, but he's just been falling. He's definitely a very polarizing player in this class. Two of the DLF dynasty DLF analysts had him ranked 24th, so much higher, whereas 3 others had him ranked 36th, 37th, and 37th, closer to where I have him ranked at 40. So there's going to be a manager in every league who likes him and selects him in the second round. I think that's really what's going to happen, meaning that I'm going to have no shares of Bucky this year. He's a great change of pace back. He definitely could be a passing downs back, incredible in the passing game. But I think that he's going to, you know, be limited in his role. And the only way I would change my mind on him would be if we were drafted earlier than expected by a team that I was confident that could use him in the right way, but I don't think that's going to happen. Early in the process, he was thought to be a third-round draft pick, but now most mock drafts have him falling to the fourth round, which that's about where I would draft him in rookie drafts too. So I'm out on Bucky Irving. Next guy I was real surprised to see is Isaac Grendo. At the time of the podcast, DLF had him ranked 37th, while I had him ranked 50th, so 13-spot difference. I'll tell you the truth, Grendo was not even in my rookie rankings when I first did my rankings before the NFL Combine, but then his 99% athletic score in first in the running back class, one of the best combines actually ever of any running back class, made him, you know, a player that I had to add to my rankings, and I thought I was being generous moving up to 50th, so I was surprised to see that they have him ranked at number 37. My knock on him was he only had a total of 231 carries, and 1,392 yards in his 5 years. That's 5 years combined. 4 with Wisconsin, a 5th with Louisville. One NFL team is going to draft him based solely on his combine performance, but he's still not predicted to be drafted until the 5th round. So it's a good bet that, it's good to bet in Dynasty. It's good to bet on the best athletes late in rookie drafts, so I see why some people would do that. But for me, I'd much rather have Frank Gore, Cody Schrader, Kamani Vidal ahead of Grendo. Those are the guys that I have ranked all ahead of Grendo, because they've proven their athleticism, not in the underwear Olympics, but they've proven it on the field. And so that's much more important to me. DLF analysts have Grindo ranked way ahead of those guys, but those guys, meaning Frank Gore, Schrader, and Vidal, but I would much rather have them for sure. So I'm surely going to miss out on Grindo, as dynasty managers who place a high value on athletic testing are going to draft him a round or even maybe two rounds before I would, since I have him ranked at 50. We've still got the NFL draft to come. It's 2 weeks away. Can't wait to get that started. Pretty exciting. And that's going to shake things up for the last time with their rankings. But as for now, before we know draft capital, these are five guys that I'm pretty sure I'll be avoiding in my rookie drafts. All right. That's a wrap for this week, my freaky friends. Thanks so much for listening. Make it a two-way conversation anytime by contacting me at dynastyfreaks@gmail.com. Dynastyfreaks with two E's and freaks. Much better on email than any social media platform, so contact me that way. I'd be honored if you'd take time to rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. That would mean a lot to me. Thanks for listening. I appreciate your support. I do want to become your most trusted and independent voice in the Dynasty landscape. Until next time, you know what to do. Go out there and get freaky.
Thanks for listening to the Dynasty Freaks podcast with your host, Justin Christopher. We welcome your thoughts and advice. Let us know what you'd like to hear on the podcast or see on the website to help you dominate your league. Justin prides himself in responding to every email, so hit him up anytime at dynastyfreaks@gmail.com and follow him on Twitter @LonghornJustin.